Today. Oh, do you love him? Hallelujah. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. Oh.
Yes, yes, yes to the Lord.
is his name. We'll read it in your Bible, search it through and through. We'll find there's only one God, you won't find the other two. God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. But he's got up on the platform, he's got back at the door. He's got in the amen corner, he's God all over this floor. His name. He's got in Oklahoma, he's got in Tennessee, but he's got right here in Corcoran, and he's got all over me.
I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God,
and Jesus is his name. Well, call us holy rollers, always making fun, but when they get the Holy Ghost, you're gonna speak in other tongues.
I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God,
and Jesus is his name. He's God in the old book, he's God in the new, and when you get the Holy Ghost, he'll be God in you too.
I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God,
and Jesus is his name. He's God when the lightning flashes, God when the thunder rolls, God way up in heaven, and he's God down in my soul.
God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God,
and Jesus is his name. Well, he's God in the Father, he's God in the Son, he's God in the Holy Ghost. All these three are one.
I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God,
and Jesus is his name. He's God when the lightning flashes, God when the thunder rolls, God way up in heaven, his name. Well, read it in your Bible, search it through and through. You'll find there's only one God, you won't find the other two.
I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God,
and Jesus is his name. He's God in the Father, God in the Son, God in the Holy Ghost. All these three are one.
I know God is God,
his name. Read it in your Bible, search it through and through. You'll find there's only one God, you won't find the other two.
I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God is God,
and Jesus is his name. Oh yes, he's God in the old book, God in the new, and when you get the Holy Ghost, he'll be God in you too.
I know God is God,
his name. He's God in the Father, God in the Son, God in the Holy Ghost. All these three are one.
I know God is God, God don't ever change.
I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. Oh yes, he's God in Oklahoma, God in Tennessee, he's God right here in Corcoran, and he's God all over me.
I know God is God, God don't ever change. I know God,
God is God, and Jesus is his name.
right. Oh, let's give them a hand clap of praise tonight. We come to lift our voices. Oh, hallelujah. We come to lift up the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, praise the Lord, somebody. Have you come to praise the Lord tonight? Oh, come on. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, that's the problem, amen. We're in a war. We're in a battle. Come on, and it's in your worship. It's in your praise, amen. If you're struggling tonight to worship, it's because we're in a battle. But we're on the winning side. Come on. Right now's the time to lift your voice. Right now's the time to lift your hands. Come on. Oh, do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love the Lord tonight? Let me see you. Oh, get out of your comfort zone then. Let the devil see you. Get out of your comfort zone then. That's right. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Oh, he's the life. One preacher said, hey, God gave you a voice to use, to speak with. Amen. You got to show that you love the Lord. It's going to be by your action. It might be by lifting your voice unto the Lord. Not just standing there. That's why when the man of God gets up here and says, praise the Lord, everybody. He doesn't want no handcuff, praise the Lord, back. No. It's time to praise the Lord, church. I said it's time to praise the Lord. Oh, it's time to challenge your right guard. Amen. Oh, it's time. Oh, hallelujah. Just to let go and let God have his way. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's so good to be back in God's house, to be in his wonderful presence. Amen. We do have several announcements here tonight. Let's not forget Monday night, 6 p.m. will be Bible college class. For those that are you that are attending Bible class, please make sure 6 p.m. we're going to start. However, the doors will be open for prayer. Prayers at 7 p.m. The doors will be open. So everyone say prayer. Prayer is what moves God. Amen. Prayer is what catches his attention. Prayer is what gets us closer to God. If you want a true relationship, or if you have a relationship with God, it's because of your prayer. Amen. So if you distance yourself, that's on you. But you know what? Now's the time to get closer to God. In this time, in this day that we're living in, we need to get closer and closer to God and closer to the church. Praise the Lord, somebody. So doors will be open. Invite someone on Wednesday night. Amen. The Bible studies, pastor's Bible studies will be on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Invite someone to the house of the Lord. How many are thankful for the Bible studies that our pastor's been giving us on evangelism? Oh, my God. Amen. Every time, amen, he just keep on teaching us, pastor. Amen, because that's truth right there. Amen. We need to have compassion, amen, on those. Take a look at your city. Take a look in your neighborhood. Every day, everywhere you go, you're going to see someone that's lost, someone that's dying, someone that's in darkness that the devil's ready to just take up and take it to hell. But you know what? Thank God that we can intercede, amen. We can intercede and say, no, you're not. Amen. Wait a minute. Stop right there. I got a testimony. I got a story to tell. Amen. That's why we need to invite. We have church cards. Amen. Get some cards. Amen. And let's continue to invite. Everyone say invite. In Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to take up our offering unto the Lord. Amen. And also, we do have prayer requests we need to bring before the Lord here tonight on behalf of John Castaneda and family. He's passed away due to this COVID. So I want to pray for the family for healing and for comfort upon them. Also, Tammy Solis is in need of our prayers tonight. The doctors are saying that she's not going to make it through the night, but I know a healer. I know the God that's more than able. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Tom Solis also is in need of healing. He had a stroke a couple of days ago. He's in the hospital. We also want to bring him before the Lord in Jesus' name, and also for Sister Hopi Campos, who's also in need of healing, extremely weak. But thank God we know who the healer is. And all for those that are still out, I know Sister Preston Sister Salgado, all those, our elders, want to continue praying for our elders as well, and for all those that are still sick in body. All for those of you, by the uplifting of hands here tonight, if you have a need, present your need before the Lord. Let's pray on behalf of these needs here tonight. Let's pray with great faith in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again in the mighty name of Jesus, my God. On behalf of John Castaneda family, on the passing of their loved one, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that your comfort, God, oh God, minister to that family. Minister to them, Lord. Bring strength unto them, Lord, in this time of their loved lost one. For no one can give the comfort that you give. No one can give the love and the healing that you can give. And we're thankful tonight, my God, that you are the mighty healer and the great physician. We pray on behalf of Tammy Solis tonight. The doctors are saying that she will not make it through tonight. We're believing for a miracle. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit intervene, my God. Lord, and minister, my God, and bring a great healing upon her that she may know that it was you that interceded, my God, and that your Holy Spirit, God, will draw her back to the house of the Lord where she belongs in the mighty name of Jesus. Also for Tom Solis tonight, who's in the hospital, who's had a stroke. Oh God, he's weak in body. We pray in his behalf as well that you will minister to him. Lord, minister, bring healing upon his body. Also, that your Holy Spirit will minister to his heart and draw him to truth in the name of Jesus. For Sister Hopi Campos tonight, Lord, who's feeling extremely weak. You are our strength, dear Lord. We pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit, God, will minister, Lord. Let your virtue flow through her body from the top of her head down to the soles of her feet in Jesus' name. Also for our elders tonight. Oh, Lord, we pray for each and every elder in the house that are sick and online that you will minister unto our elders and bring healing upon their bodies. All those that are still out sick, we pray for a complete healing for you're more than able. You know every uplifted hand here in the house. You know every need as well. We present every need before you, for there is nothing impossible with thee. Lord, also, as we give our offering unto thee, we thank you here tonight, Lord, for a mighty work in every heart. We love you in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's worship the Lord in our giving. The baskets are out.
Well, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. My mind, he saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name every day, he's just the same. I'm gonna praise him, I've got to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Well, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Touch my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Every day he's just the same. I'm gonna praise him. Your mind. Did he save you just in time? You need to praise his name. Every day he's just the same. You need to praise him. We've got to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Well, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed our body. My mind, he saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his
back to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him, church. Oh, we have a special tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, we do have a special tonight. Amen. Let's, our young people come and worship the Lord. Worship the Lord with them. Let's lift our hands all throughout the house once again. Oh, come on. Let's worship the Lord in Jesus' name.
Oh, us. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I do want to say how great it is that everyone that has gotten sick is all doing better. Amen. And that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. Amen. I'm thanking the Lord. When I was sick with COVID, amen, I just let God know I wasn't ready to go home. I was at home, but I was talking about I wasn't ready to die. I says, but Lord, you know all things. And if you are preferring to take me home, I'm willing. But if not, this too shall pass. And my faith was not in doctors, but my faith was in the great physician. Amen. Praise God. And we are so, we are blessed for all of you that have come through this sickness. And you're well. And it's revival time. Amen. It's revival time. Praise God. You can open up your Bibles here tonight. We're going to take you to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to read just a few verses in your hearing. And then I am going to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart for tonight's service. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to begin at verse number 12, and we're going to read through verse 14. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. Beloved, he's talking to those whom he loves. That means he's talking to you. I like it when I read in the text and I recognize that God is being very personal. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Now, too many feel their trials is to destroy them. Their trials they go through is to beat them down. But that's not what the scripture reads. The scripture says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Everyone say, I'm going to rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Oh, can we lift our hands and let's glorify the Lord in this place? Oh, we magnify you tonight. We lift you up. We bless your name. Talk to our hearts through your word tonight. Allow your spirit, God, to move. I pray you encourage the people of God. Let your spirit rest upon us here tonight. We ask it all in the lovely name of God. Up Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house. hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to preach from these scripture texts. My title will simply be, God is never surprised by your circumstances. God is never surprised by your circumstances. It was Sunday morning, July the 25th. I preached a message that I entitled, God is in Control. And I feel that from that very message, hell, it came against the church. But it doesn't matter how hell comes against his church, the church of the living God. God is still in control. No matter your situation in this life, God is in control. Oh, hallelujah. Even when bad things happen to good people, we are neither consumed nor destroyed. But God is still in control. God always will have the last say. Your life is in his hands. Uncertainties, insecurities, anxieties, and fear have become the order of the day in many lives, but not in the lives of those in the church. We are victorious through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. However, in the face of these uncertainties and apprehensions, the promises of God concerning our security is still intact and still reassuring. Our faith is not predicated by what is happening in our world, but our faith is predicated by the Word of God. You can, and God expects you to walk in full assurance that his blessings will be manifested in your life. And the abundant life that he has planned for you is constantly within your reach. God wants you to know, and God wants you to realize that healing, protection, and prosperity are yours all the time. And that they are inexhaustible. The devil will lie to you. He will try and cheat you, and he will try to steal against you. He will tell stories and promises so much to anyone who will listen. But he will never deliver on his promises, and he will never shed a tear over one soul who will miss out. Missing out on the opportunity of God's amazing grace and his gospel message. I'm telling you, the devil wants to rob you of your salvation. In the same time in which we live, we must not be swayed by what we are scared of, but stand and to hold fast to what we know. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to, amen, to tell somebody here tonight, I'm not afraid of COVID. I'm not scared. scared. Amen. From these devices that can be used against our physical body. But I've got a faith in my God that He is able to see me through. Your accuser would like for you to think that he's winning the battle. But Jesus Christ already has been victorious and has defeated your accuser and all of hell. The most peaceful feeling one will ever find is knowing that through Christ we have won. Even when things around us get hot and hard even to handle, God is still in control. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not here to try to bring a pitiful story tonight, but I'm here to give you a story of victory, that as long as Jesus reigns in your life, you win. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. And God is never surprised by your circumstances in this life. Nothing takes God by surprise. To be surprised, you have to be uncertain about what is coming. You have to be ignorant. But God is never ignorant about the future or about anything present. He is never uncertain about what is coming, because He knows the end from the beginning. And we can know this by two facts. One, the Bible shows us that God knows the future, even the future of human decisions, is part of what it means to be God. And the other fact is that the Bible shows that God's foreknowledge is not the knowledge of something different from His will and His plans, but that He knows the future because He planned the future. God wasn't surprised by the persecution of the early church. God wasn't surprised by all of our world wars. God wasn't surprised by the plagues in Egypt, the measles of our present day, mumps, smallpox, SARS, the swine flu. God's not surprised. And He's not surprised at this COVID flu. I don't think the disciples ever held a surprise party for Jesus. I know I look around this congregation, and I know many of you have been a part of a surprise party to where the individual did not know the surprise that was about ready to happen. But I don't think that Jesus was ever surprised by anything that was ever brought before Him. It's not mentioned in the Bible. But it is hard to imagine the disciples hiding behind chairs in the dark and waiting for Jesus to walk in through the front door. Can you imagine? Could you imagine Mary, his mother, hiding in the corner, ready to light a lamp so that when he comes in the door, that they can surprise. But then when Jesus arrives, he just smiles and says, I knew all along. You know, that's a kind of like a bummer. I like to surprise people. But actually, knowing Jesus, he would have probably, as they were hiding, watching those front doors, he would have probably walked in the back door and snuck up behind Peter and said, Peter, who are we waiting for? That's just about the way the master would respond. We always expect Christ to show up one way. I know. I can tell it in your voice. I can tell it in your remarks. Something's happening. You don't understand. And you're on the phone. And you're telling your pastor the way it ought to have been. The way God should have come through. He came through, but he came through his way. That's why when God is God, he surprises even his church. I can think of so many Bible scriptures where God surprised someone. Did you know Lazarus being raised from the dead was a surprise? But not to God. The water being turned into wine was a surprise. The parting of the Red Sea was a surprise to Israel. Most people were surprised by the flood. Even the disciples were surprised at the resurrection of Jesus. God will always surprise you, but you cannot surprise God. God is not surprised about where you are in your life right now. He saw it coming. By the decisions and by the choices that you made. If things are bad, God is not taken off guard. He is not shocked about what has happened to you. And the same goes for if things are good, he is still not surprised. He is the one that blessed you. But we still, at times, act like God is not paying attention to my needs. And God, you just don't understand. It's not that God doesn't know, but he still wants you to petition him. He don't want you to beg him, but he wants you to ask. Seek and knock. For he said in his own words, if you will ask, you will receive. He said, if you will seek, you will find. And if you will knock, the door will be open. But it's not going to open the way you want it to open. And you're not going to receive all the time the way you want to receive. Oh, but all in God's timing and all in God's will, God will come through for you. God knows each and every situation that we come into better than we can ever understand it. He knows us better than we know ourselves. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, it says, and the very hairs on your head are numbered, and God knows each one. I don't think we give God enough credit for what he knows. And also, I think we give ourselves too much credit for what happens. And in the end, God is never surprised, because he already knew what was going to happen. God wasn't surprised when Peter cut off the man's ear in the garden. The Lord just put it back in place. God wasn't surprised when Jonah was swallowed by the big fish. Nor when Noah had to build an ark. God was not surprised. God wasn't surprised when Adam and Eve bit into the forbidden fruit. All of these times, he was still God, even in terrible decisions that humanity made. God was still God. And he knew more than any one of us could have understood. That is where we fall short. We can think we know a lot. We can be educated and wise. And some people have a lot of common sense. But we quickly forget that we will never know as much as God knows. He always knows what is best for you. God gives us our will. And when we decide to go against what is best, God allows us. Yet praying and hoping we will turn back to him. That is why it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We can't trust our own thinking, because we are flawed with sin. And only God can bring us a peace and a guidance. If we only begin to rely upon ourselves, we end up looking up at God and saying, why? And he looks down and is not taken off guard. He's not confused. And yet he knows exactly what you need and understands your thoughts. When we ask God why, we really don't give him the credit. Life always seems to take us off guard. Sunday night, we can be on top of the mountain. We could be shouting on the hills, and can I use that terminology in a spiritual sense? But come Monday, the storms and the winds are contrary. We're shouting victory on Sunday night. Our faith is high. But when the storm comes on Wednesday, before Wednesday night service, we're down in the mully groves. Where our faith is being devastated. We're questioning even God. I'm talking, amen, about God is never, everyone say never, surprised by your circumstances. God knows how you think. God knows your lack of faith. And all he's trying to do is to encourage your faith. That with God, all things are possible. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to tell God how it needs to be done. Just let your faith and your praise make the difference. God, I don't understand it. Amen. But that's not my part. I just have a faith in you that you're going to see us through. You know, life always seems to take you off guard. I know too many people who say, I never saw my life turning out like this. Sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it seems like a bad thing. But when God is truly in control of your life, it doesn't matter. Because God's plans are always better than our plans. So even though you're shocked by your situations, God is never shocked. He's not worried at all. And neither should you. He says in Matthew 6 and verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles are enough for today. And God doesn't want us to overthink our lives. Oh, we can get ourselves in such a turmoil. It's raining. Oh God, next it's going to storm. That's the way we look at our lives. Some small trivial things start to happen. And we very quickly start already prophesying the worst is to come. God wants you to get enough faith in your heart to have beliefs that God is well able to take care of you. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter how sick you may get. It doesn't matter the diseases that may come. I'm telling you, God is in control. God knows what He is doing. And ultimately, it's God that has the last say. God wants us to take things one step at a time and let each worry handle itself. We are never going to have our ideas and our reasonings worked out the way we see them. But we know that God's ways and that God's plans are so much better than ours. Anything can happen to us, good or bad. Brother Lamb, you and your wife was traveling down through Waukena, and you came up to crossroads there of Highway 43 and Waukena Avenue. And one little mistake is all it took. Don't blame God, but have faith in God. Brother Lamb pulled out in front of a vehicle traveling north on Highway 43 and T-boned them. And Brother Lamb ended up having one of his lungs punctured. And he'd have got to the hospital a whole lot sooner if he hadn't have been so tall. They tried to put him in the helicopter. He wouldn't fit. His head was hanging out the one side and his feet was hanging out the other. They said, this ain't working. We weren't fearful. We weren't fretting because we knew ultimately who was in charge. Come on, folks. It's not over until God says it's over. That's why we've got to live our lives today as though it may be the last day of our lives. I've got to serve God with all my heart. I've got to serve God with all of my strength. I've got to give God all of my life right now. God's not surprised at all. And yet he's willing to help you if you'll only place your life within his hands. Yet we must remember, when we are surprised by good things, that we need to give that praise unto God. And it never should be, look what I have done. But all should be, look what he has done. We should be doing that all of the time. When's the last time you thanked God for your paycheck? When's the last time you thanked God for your health? You may say, but you don't understand, preacher. Amen. My health's not that good. You're alive, aren't you? You need to be thanking God for life. You may say, well, I don't even have two nickels to kind of rub together. That's all right. You're alive and well. It could be worse. You need to be thankful for where God has you right now. God's good. And he always knows what you need in your life. God is never surprised by your circumstances, even by your bad choices and by your bad decisions. He's never surprised, but he always has the answer. Some days you may feel as if you were on the front lines of battle, where you may even feel outnumbered 1,000 to 1. Here, you are fighting for truth, hope, and joy. But the fiery arrows of affliction continue to fly from every angle against you. You may be fighting the temptation to grumble, to get angry, to stomp your feet defiantly at the daily pain and circumstances that seem too much to bear. You may be fighting for endurance, but a spirit of weariness tries to pull you under. You may be fighting the enemy who wants to destroy your faith, to distort this truth, and to keep you from glorifying Christ through your life. Even though you may be confident in the truth of God's word, and even though you may know that you are in Christ, the effects of the daily battles can take a toll on your mind, your body, and your spirit. While some days the will to keep fighting this battle feels impossible, yet there are two things that are keeping you in the fight. The first is the finish line. Where the glory of Christ awaits you for eternity. I'm not giving up the battle. I'm not giving up the fight. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Hey, man, just knowing the finish line is just ahead. It's worth the fight. It's worth the battle. It's worth the struggle. And along with that understanding, it is the amazing truth that Christ already won this battle for you. You're his children. And you need to hold firmly to him with great faith. Yet even though we are assured of victory in Christ, how do we persevere day to day when the reality of our trials make us feel far from victorious? What do we do when our circumstances seem more like a hindrance to serving the Lord and living our life to the fullest? Maybe you've allowed your life to take a detour. Maybe as you look at life and your present situation, I'm telling you, I've seen too many young people tell God, God, you're not working fast enough. Huh? You may not say it in these terms, but your actions will prove it. And you start making decisions without inquiring of God. Or you will say, I inquired. I talked to God in prayer. And this is what I felt. No, no, that is what you wanted. You're going to miss out. You're going to push until God says, go ahead. And you're going to mess your life up because you got in a hurry. And God says, wait. Or maybe you were pursuing a goal, a dream, or a ministry opportunity when a devastating diagnosis or a strained relationship shut the door on where you thought God was leading you. Sometimes God shuts doors because it's his purpose. Perhaps the loss of a loved one has sent you spiraling into unpredictable waves of grief, leaving you paralyzed and unsure of how to keep moving forward. There are countless circumstances that can leave us perplexed, afraid of the future, and feeling powerless to improve our situations. However, despite how helpless you may feel in these moments, we are never truly helpless. And it's never a surprise to God. In fact, it's in these very moments that we are driven into a deeper trust in God's sovereignty, in God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and God's power. And have the opportunity then to watch him work in ways that only God can. It's found in Acts chapter 12. It begins in verse number 1. It was shortly after King Herod had killed James, the brother of John. And then he sought to take Peter's life as well. So Peter was arrested. He was handed over to four rotations of guards to be guarded until after the Passover. And as the story continues, I begin to see how Peter's imprisonment, which seemed to be both a threat to his life and a hindrance to the advancement of the gospel. But allow me to give you some several encouragements that we can take from the story of Peter in his time in prison that can help you when you may be tempted to confusion, to fear, to anger, to weariness. Number one, God sometimes allows circumstances that make it appear as if evil is winning, but only for a time. I said earlier, this too shall pass. Every situation that we ever enter into, it doesn't matter if it was something that you brought on yourself, or it's something that a door was opened and the enemy took advantage of it. I'm telling you what, you need to look at it in this sense. I put my life into the hands of an almighty God. And it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what takes place. Whether it's my foolish decisions or a door was opened that the adversary took advantage of, I'm still not going to give up faith. I'm not going to give up hope. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. And I'm going to see God come through in my behalf. As a believer, we can be very confident that even circumstances that perplex us can be sovereignly orchestrated for the purpose of us growing up in Christ, to where we can display His glory. Evil may appear to flourish for a time, but the Lord has even established its boundaries and will ultimately use it for the advancement of His purpose in you. Don't worry about tomorrow. You just put your trust in God. Encouragement number two. Some will see the power of God and turn to Him in their repentance, while others will see the power of God as a threat to their own power, and they'll turn away. Acts chapter 12 and verse 6. Now when Herod was about to bring, talking of Peter, out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the doors, they were guarding the prison. If Herod felt it was necessary to chain Peter to two guards and then put two more guards protecting the gate, he must have seen Peter as a very powerful threat. Can I tell you here tonight, some of the circumstances that come into your life by your adversary is because your adversary sees you as a threat. And he's going to try to pull down your faith. He's going to try to destroy, amen, your hope. I'm here to tell somebody, don't let those things discourage you, but you need to have faith in God. Although the gospel proclaims peace with God through repentance, not through violence or a forced conversion, Christ made it clear that His message of salvation would not bring peace, but a sword. In Matthew 10, verse 34. But while Peter was not a man of violence, Herod feared the sword of truth that Peter was proclaiming. And it was so much that it was Herod who took every precaution to prevent Peter's escape. And then the powerful influence that Peter held on others. We need to remember that if our lives are marked by the light of the gospel, we too may be seen as a threat to your adversary. However, just as the Lord strengthened and taught Peter in preparation for his trial, we too are being strengthened and taught to be prepared to live as sheep among wolves. Our pain is never without a purpose. But we must keep our eyes upon Christ and the security we have in Him and in Him alone. The third encouragement is, no human means are powerful enough to silence the message of the gospel and to restrain the power of God. Oh, think about it. Wow. God has given you the power that in His name miracles can happen. That in His name healings will take place. In His name deliverance will come. When's the last time when you had a circumstance come about you? When's the last time you just started praying in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, when you call on the name of Jesus, it causes the demons to shudder. It causes hell to shake. It causes the devil to have a nervous breakdown. It's time you start calling on the name of Jesus. Woo! The next time you go into battle, it's time to start calling on the name. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to Peter, and a light shone in the cell. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up!" And the chains fell off his hands and off his ankles. And the angel said to Peter, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." I love this picture. I got to looking at it this week. I saw Peter shackled, naked, and facing intimate death. And this is the true state of each one of us, apart from the saving power of Christ. Without Christ, you're shackled. Without Christ, you're naked in sin. And you are facing imminent death. But in Christ, you're free. In Christ, you've been delivered. In Christ, you've been redeemed. And just like Peter, we were powerless to save ourselves. But God's grace came to us while we were helpless in the prison cell of our sins. God shined His light into our darkness. Broke our chains, clothed us in His righteousness, saving us from God's own wrath and from the imminent death that sin brings. What a Savior. But you and I need to remember this, when we find ourselves in the throes of affliction, feeling helpless and afraid of what lies ahead. No pain, no suffering, no evil, no persecution is outside of God's control and God's power to save us. God is never overwhelmed are surprised by what happens in our lives. And he will be faithful to work in our lives and through our lives for his eternal and loving purpose. If he is able to save us from the chains of sin and the power of death, he is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm telling you, some of you young men, some of you young ladies out there that are not married, you are so consumed with trying to get a wife or a husband. Why? If your life is in the hands of God, then God knows who that spouse is. God knows where they're at. God knows what church they're in. Oh, but we can get so nervous and we can get so miserable when it's time to worship. All we're oh God, where is he? Where is she? And God's looking down at you and saying, what's your problem? It's all going to happen in my time. But there might just be a few things you need to work on. I've talked to some young men of late, and I told them what I expect them to do. And if they don't do it, they ain't going to get a wife. You say, oh, how can you be so hard, Pastor? Because I've been praying. And God's been talking to me. Amen. That's why I went to those that I spoke to. It's because God spoke to me and told me what to tell you. Now, some of you are getting a little worried. And some of you young ladies are out here saying, oh, God, don't send Pastor my way. Maybe that's what you need. You need to quit getting so consumed. Amen. With getting some of you are more consumed with getting a boyfriend. I'm not looking over here. I'm looking over here. A boyfriend than you are consumed with getting a prayer life. Hey, when you come to pray, don't come up here and say, oh God, please, please let this one like me. You know what? You know what sometimes I think God wants to do? I think he's, when you say that, he goes, he wants to puke. Why? Because you're too consumed with natural things when you ought to be consumed with spiritual things. When you put God's agenda first, God lets everything else just fall into place. Oh, yes, yes, he will. God's never overwhelmed by your circumstances. He's not ever surprised. But he knows exactly what's going on. Hey, maybe God's still working on her. Maybe God's still working on him. And God doesn't want you to get in a mess. God don't want you marrying someone that doesn't have a prayer life. God doesn't want you young ladies to marry a young man that won't keep a job. He don't want you marrying somebody that treats his own mother like dirt. You know why? Because that's the way he'll treat you. Hey, it's the will of God that the young man works. I would love it that every one of our ladies didn't have to work. I was talking to a pastor just recently on this very subject, and I said, you know, you really have got to look at things in perspective. You know, there are some places that wages are not as high as they are in the large cities. And sometimes it takes two incomes to even get by. I'm not talking about taking two incomes to get what you want. but just to get by. I said, too many guys look at it, amen, across the board as though, hey, our ladies are not to work. That would be wonderful. That would be glorious if it could be possible. In my own mind, it's just the way. I'd love for it to be that way. But sometimes it's just not probable. It's just not. It just won't work. It won't happen. But you can help it to happen by getting your spending in check. Too many young people, they get married and they want what their parents have that took their parents 40 years to get. Oh, I want it right now. I got to have that lifted truck. I got to have that 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with a swimming pool. You know what? You're putting your cart before your horse. Maybe you need to make sure you can put food on the table. Maybe you need to make sure that you have a life insurance policy for your loving bride that you married, that you said you loved. But no, I got to have that lifted truck. I got to have that whatever the cars are that are popular today. I got to have this, and I've got to have that, and hey, there are more things that are more important. Amen. Every young man that ever gets married, I tell them, you need to get a life insurance policy. Amen. And a lot of you got it. If you didn't, you lied to me. But that's important. If you really love somebody, you wanna protect them. And you know what? And there's nothing wrong with these ladies getting a life insurance policy. Hey, you're so in love, you got 6 kids. I don't know if anybody's got 6 kids, so I think I'm safe. You got 6 kids. Hello? You got 6 kids. But if you die, what's your husband going to do with 6 kids? He's got to work. And so he's going to have to hire a babysitter.
Hello?
That costs money. That's where life insurance comes in. It helps pay the bill. Hey, it's not the will of God for that husband to quit his job to watch those kids. You got to prepare for the future. Just like in your living, you got to prepare for the future. You got to make sure your heart's right. You got to make sure your life's right. Jesus is coming, ready or not. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now unto him. Not unto you, but now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know what that simply means? How full of the Holy Ghost are you? Do you allow the Holy Ghost to move only when you're in the house of God? Or does the Holy Ghost move in you on a daily basis? On a daily basis. See, because that exceedingly abundant of all things that we ask or think only happens according to the power that worketh in you. Are you full of pride, arrogance, worldly, or are you full of the Holy Ghost? No human means can silence your witness for Christ. Encouragement number four. The Lord does what we cannot do. But we have got to be willing to dress ourselves for action and follow Him in our obedience. And the angel said, dress yourself and put on your sandals. Peter did so. And the angel said, wrap your cloak around you and just follow me. And he went out and he followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate that led into the city, and it opened for them on its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and then immediately the angel left Peter. And when Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord had sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. The angel removed the chains from Peter's hands and his feet, leading Peter to freedom. However, the angel required Peter to have a faith and a cooperation to get dressed and to follow him in his obedience. And this is true to every believer. Remember, I'm preaching on God is never surprised by your circumstances. Every believer has got to be freed from the power of sin and given the Holy Ghost. You got to walk in the Holy Ghost. You got to live in the Holy Ghost. There's no vacation from the Holy Ghost. But we must take action in walking in the freedom we've been given by staying full. Everyone say full. Full of the Holy Ghost. If you don't stay full of the Holy Ghost, then don't be surprised by what happens, what may take place. When you stay full of the Holy Ghost, you have power within you to resist evil, to resist temptation. I'm telling you what, you are full of the Holy Ghost. You can resist the devil, but only if you are in full obedience unto God. How foolish it would have been if Peter would have responded to the angel's command when he told him, get up, put on your clothing and your sandals. And Peter would have looked and said, oh, no thank you. Thanks for removing my chains, but I think I want to just rest a while. That's the way too many act today. The Lord's trying to move you higher, and you're satisfied where you're living. And God is telling you, I've got something better for you. You got to quit being so satisfied with having less than God's best in your life. Don't be satisfied for what is least when God wants to give you greater things. Don't be satisfied with what's on the bottom when you can get what's on the top. But don't we sometimes respond the way I said Peter could have responded, oh no, I'm happy just the way it is. Don't we sometimes respond that way by choices we make? After we have been freed from the power of sin, do we sometimes resist the calling and the responsibilities that we have been given out of the fear of what might lie ahead, or the comforts we may lose? Oh, I'm telling you, I know human being. I know the human mind. Hey, man, I'm going to ask a question. How many of you like change? Some of you act like you do. But they say that 100% of people don't like change. I guarantee it, if you'd allow me just to spend one day in your life, and I start trying to change your routines, you're going to say, but, I'm just used to doing it like this. I'm used to being this way. Hey, I'm telling you what, that's the problem. We enjoy our comfort zones. We like the way it is. Why? Because you built that cocoon around you. And that's why you have a hard time. Amen. At times, just to stand to your feet and shout unto the Lord. And you say, that's not me. I guarantee it, if God would allow you to win $1 million, now, I'm not going to ask the stupid question tonight, Brother Michael. If God blessed you with $1 million, how would you respond? I'd be happy. That's why you're not getting it. Hello? I'm telling you what, in the spiritual, there are so many things that God wants to do in our behalf, but we're not real excited about it happening. If I was to tell all these young ladies that within the next 6 months, now some of you, this isn't going to happen, but I'm just using this as an illustration. If God was to speak to your pastor and say, if you tonight would give God some praise beyond the norm, you're going to have a husband in 6 months. See, that's why it's not going to happen. Not one of them responded to the positive. You know why? Because in your mindset, now I can understand these young girls up here that saying, I'm not even old enough to talk to boys. I can understand their mentality. But what about the rest of you that are over the age? Hello? Hey, man, God is going to send you a husband in the next 6 months? Woo! It ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna take place. All right, young men. Hey, if you're 21 years and above, God can give you a spouse in the next 6 months. What are you looking for? You got to lose some weight first. You gotta get some proper hygiene. You need to brush those teeth. Hey, you got green moss growing. Brush your teeth. Use some deodorant. I heard brother Marin at the pulpit tonight. He was saying some of you haven't even challenged your right guard. Have you ever wondered maybe they ain't got any on? Come on, if you're wanting to get a wife, then you need to wear cologne. You need to wear right guard. It don't have to be right guard, but some deodorant. You need to brush your teeth. You need to proper hygiene. You need to wash your hair. You don't need dandruff. Amen. Just packed in your hair. It can't be a greasy look. Hey, you know what? Girls ain't going to look for that. They're looking for a clean cut young man that keeps his hair cut like a man, that dresses like a man, looks like a man, acts like a man, gets a good job. Isn't that what you young ladies are looking for? You want a young man that prays? You want a young man that's faithful to God? Oh, yeah. You want a young man that puts God first and not himself. God is never surprised by your circumstances. You know, some of you young men out there, God's looking down at you and saying, that's why you ain't got a girlfriend. That's why you ain't married. God's looking at these young ladies. He's saying, same thing. There's some things you've got in not in proper perspective. There are things that you've got in your life that it's so important, but it's not that important to God. God is looking for young ladies, amen, that know how to pray. Know how to pray. Know how to pray. Not when things are just going good, but when even things in your life are going terrible. God's looking for young ladies that know how to pray so that he can bring you a young man that's been faithful. Hey, I found Sister Hale at the altar. And that's what she said attracted me to her, was that I was in the altar. I was a young man that prayed in the altars. I was a young man that prayed with people in the altars. And I didn't wait until I became a preacher. Hey, I started doing it because it's just the will of God. It's the will of God. Hey, young ladies, don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated to pray with others in these altars. I didn't say to go pray with the young men. But don't be intimidated praying with your sisters and anyone that may be older than you are of the female gender. Why? Because that's what God's looking for. That's what God's looking for. You know what? You don't even realize what God has in store for your lives. And I can even talk to those that are married. Hey, I'm telling you, God has a work for you. God has a plan for your life. Hey, don't think that your life is over. I'm telling somebody here tonight, it can just begin. It doesn't matter how old you are. Your life can just begin when you put your life in the hands of an almighty God that cares about you. God could have ended Peter's life then, but God had a purpose. God wasn't through with Peter's life. Peter got COVID. Yeah, you don't know. He could, you know, that sickness could have taken out his life. Does anybody know how Lazarus died? He could have died of COVID. You don't know. You know what COVID used to be? SARS. Do you know what SARS used to be? You can go through history and you can see where this sickness has always been with us for years. They just changed the name. And you know what? We got to come to the conclusion. You know, I some of you out there, I've watched you, and you know, a certain young man was kind of interested, and then he kind of lost entrance, and you felt like your life ended. And some of you young men, the same thing. I'm telling you what, life is not over. because a relationship may end. Hey, that's just God's way of saying this wasn't my will. You just need to accept it and say, all right, God, can I just be a little facetious right here? Next. Next. Hey, and girls, you don't run after the boys. I almost hate to ask this question, but when's the last time one of you young men bought a young lady something to eat without her knowing you paid for it? Boy, somebody just fell over. All these young ladies just fell out in fright and fear. Hey, I'm telling you. Hey, when a young man buys you something, whether you're at camp or you're at a conference or something just shows up at the house and it's like, wow, man, don't even worry about whose name's on it. Just say, thank you. Hey, why not? Thank you. Hey, don't, you know, this is the way some of you act. This is the way some of you are. Someone buys you something and you're not looking at the gift. You're looking at the individual. I wonder what my friends will think. I wonder what my best friend's going to think about him. And the guys are the same way. I wonder what my buddies are going to think. Hello? I'll tell you what they're going to think. They're gonna tell you you're foolish, you're dumb, you need to run from her. You know why they'll say that? It's because they're jealous. Hey, but hear your pastor. But you know what? You need to be nice to them. That don't mean you have to like them. That don't mean you got to marry them. That don't even mean that if they call your pastor up, they better not call me, but their pastor better. When their pastor calls me and asks me, I got questions to ask. And I'm telling you what, that's going to eliminate a lot of these because they can't answer the questions right. I wouldn't want one of you young men to marry a young lady that doesn't pray. I wouldn't want you to marry a young lady that's not faithful to church. That's not faithful to the man of God. That's not faithful in their money. Hello? I'm telling you what, there's a whole lot of reasons for that. Situation, ladies, I'm telling you what, if they're not faithful in their finances, you're going to not only be broke, but you're going to be finding yourself looking for a place to live every 4 to 5 months because he didn't pay the bills. He didn't pay the rent. Why? Because he spent the money for something else. Think about it. There's a whole lot more into all of this. It's more than, I got to get married. And so you just settle for whatever shows up. No, that's not the way it works. We want the will of God. God is never surprised by your circumstances. Do you understand that God allows many things in your life to happen for your growth. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Prayer can open doors that nothing else can. And I know I've been picking on these kids, but that's all right. They need to hear it. Some of your parents need to hear it. But let me ask you, young ladies, have you made you a list in what you want in a husband? Do you have a list? Do you have a list? Get you a list. Do you have a list? You're never going to get married. Do you have a list? Do you have a list? You need to get a list. Darla's probably saying, what are you talking about? Shaughnessy, you have a list? How old are you? 14. You need to make a list. Harmony, do you have a list? No, don't copy her list. Lori, do you have a list? Now, don't take your list, and because now I've been looking for a husband for 8 years now, I'm going to start crossing some things off. Oh, no. Do you have a list? Do you have a list? How old are you? 12. Get a list. 6 years is going to come by real fast. Do you have a list? You're never going to get married. Do you have a list? How old are you? 14. She has a, how old are you? You're 18. She's got a list. She's 14. And you don't have a list. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. How about you men? Do you guys have a list on what you're looking for in a wife? Brother Jarrell, you have a list? It's right on your refrigerator, right? You got one on your bathroom mirror? You got one on the dashboard of your vehicle? You pass them out. Brother Daniel, do you have a list? You're never going to get married. Brother Stephen, do you have a list? Yeah. He's got one list, a woman. Brother Jesse, do you have a list? That's why we get messed up with the wrong people. It's because we don't have a list that says we're specifically looking for this. And when you go to a meeting and you don't see them in the altars praying, they're automatically off your list. How about Brother Isaiah? Do you have a list? Is it a long list or a short list? He's got a woman. How about you, brother? He didn't really lose it. What happened was the last girl he looked at him and ran. And he took that list and he started ripping it up and said, what's the use? Make a list. Pray over your list. Let me see if there's anyone sitting out there. Oh, there you go. Brother Boone, do you have a list? Is it because mama won't make that you make a list? Think about it. I'm telling you what, God cares about you. He cares about your wants. He cares about your needs. I'm telling you, God cares about your family's salvation more than you do. But there's too often times that we allow circumstances in our lives that was never the will of God. It's because you got in a hurry. Because you got disgruntled. It's because you had a lack of faith. But God is never surprised by your circumstances. But what God is wanting to do is he's wanting, as he did with Peter, he wants to send angels. Amen. To gird you up, to strengthen you, to help you. He'll even use the man of God to help you. Aren't you thankful, Brother Lamb? You know, you just got to know the whole story. Brother Lamb was a very shy guy. Was you not shy? I'm telling you what, he'd hide himself. What you're seeing up here is him leading songs. That wasn't Brother Lamb. Oh, no. If we had asked Brother Lamb to lead songs, he'd have died then. I remember in the old church, Sister Becky came to a fellowship meeting. And she walked through the door. I was on the platform. I'd been praying. And it so happens I was watching, not these doors, but the doors in the old fellowship, use the fellowship hall now. She walked in, and the minute I saw her, what came to my mind is that is Brother Lamb's future bride. I didn't tell her that. I went to you, Brother Lamb, and I said, hey, I said, did you meet Sister Becky? And then I told him, I said, hey, I said, you need to make a trip to Orosi. You need to get to know her. And did you go? Oh, yeah. Because he knew I was going to ask him. And if he hadn't have gone, I kicked him in the britches. And I would have said to him, like I might say to some of you, you're never getting married. But he pursued her. Now, I know some of you out there, you know, you're different. But do you know who Brother Lamb always used as his chaperones for his dates? Anybody know? His mom and dad. In fact, it was his mom and dad that was with them when he proposed to her. Mama knew what he was getting ready to do, and so she told her husband, and she said, come on. Leave the kids alone and listen, because she knew what he was getting ready to do. He got down on his knees. Tears started flowing down his cheeks. I'm trying to make it romantic. Now, he probably just grabbed her and said, come on, woman. Would you marry me? And she punched him back and said, yeah, I'll marry you, sir. Or it could be like Brother Wadislawski and Sister Wadislawski. You know where he proposed to her at? Anybody know? The park, in a boat, in the water. And he had his guitar. And he was singing to her. And he asked her to marry him. Hey, I can tell you stories. I could tell you the night that Brother Wadislawski's first pastor called and wanted permission for him in order to speak to Sister Teresa Wadislawski. And I was called to the phone. I went to the phone. I answered it, spoke to his pastor for a bit. And he wanted to know if I'd give him permission even tonight that Brother Wadislawski would be able to speak to Sister Teresa. And I said, he can. Sure, I had no problem with that because I already knew it was the will of God. And I remember I stepped out of the office. We were cleaning the church that night. And I called out Teresa and she looked. I said, hey. I said, Brother Tim's on the phone, wants to talk to you. She says, Brother Hale. She thought I was joking. And I said, that's all right. I'll just let him know. You're too busy. And when I turned around, it dawned on her. I was telling the truth. And she screamed. She said, wait. She ran down there. I said, all right, he's on the phone. And I think she still doubted me. But boy, when she picked up that phone and said hello, and she heard his voice, she melted. Now, she may not tell you that. Amen. But But I'm telling you, God is concerned about you. He is. He's concerned. He's parents, he is concerned about your kids. He is concerned about your home. He's concerned about your job. He is concerned about the people that you associate with. He's concerned because he knows that any of those circumstances can turn you to the wrong direction. But God is never surprised by your circumstances. But when you make the wrong decisions, God doesn't just cast you aside, but God is continuously waiting on you to turn around and come back to him and say, God, I messed up, but I need your help. I'm telling you, God is never surprised by your circumstances. I want us to stand right now. I believe I've been talking to somebody here tonight. I believe there's some of you that you've been perplexed. You've had issues with circumstances that just have overwhelmed you. But I want to guarantee you here tonight, if you'll come around this altar and if you'll once again put your heart, put your life, put your desire back into the hands of Almighty God.